Good morning. Great day in the sunshine. I didn't start this way yesterday, but it does strike me today to start this way, and then I'll say a word about the new Pope. Do you like to travel?
Yes.
Well, that's about a third. Well, my friends, we're on a journey, and we're on a journey to eternal life. Now, I know, you know, those are just words, aren't they? Because nobody's going to stand up right now and volunteer, well, I'll go today and I'll let you know what it's like. Nobody's going to do that, right? Right now, we are all the baptized. We are now already living our eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is God's life. It's the divine life of God in us now. I don't think about that every day. I mean, I don't even think about heaven a lot. Do you? No, we really don't. Why does that strike me to say that? There's something about the Spirit in that. There's a lot going on today. Not the least of which is this young man. How old are you, Liam? You're 10. So you're in the fourth grade. Remember when you were 10? You remember when you were in the fourth grade? And there wasn't iPhones, and there wasn't computers, and the consumerism of our country was about a fraction of what it is now. It was a lot easier when we were 10 to understand what eternal life was, wasn't it? Well, it was. We're on a journey. We're going to God. Are you happy to have a new pope? Are you happy with the new pope we got?
Yes.
Why? Do you think it was the cardinal's choice, the 133 cardinals, or do you think it was God's choice?
God.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Good. Because that means it was the work of the Holy Spirit. And you're saying that you believe that the Holy Spirit is active and present in the church and in the world today.
Yes.
Now, although I don't know the numbers, I don't know. I'm going to say a couple hundred thousand. Probably not that big a number. I don't think a couple hundred thousand, maybe, could fit in the St. Peter's Square. All those people were not Catholic. They were from people all around the world. And they're literally going gaga. I mean, nutso. Because we got a new pope. And quite honestly, we have every right and a responsibility to celebrate the new pope. In fact, our new archbishop, Edward Weisenberger, did a special mass Friday, 5 o'clock, at the cathedral. And they have yellow and white bunting around the front doors over there. We're not going to do that. And they have all these special things, and there's special prayers and special liturgy. And he said every day, every parish should have a special mass for the election of the new pope. Well, this is it. We did it yesterday. We're doing it today. Why? Because don't you suppose he needs our prayers? He needs our prayer. Think about how radically his life changed in the course of that. Was it Thursday morning? That he was on the third vote, I think it was, that he was elected. You pray for him. Now, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get too far into this, but I miss Pope Francis. And in fact, I keep saying the Pope Francis. Well, he's okay, he's with the Lord. Praise God. I just felt a certain, I don't know if I want to say closeness, but certainly an affinity for Pope Francis. You could see the priest in him. And I can see the priest in Archbishop Weisenberger, as opposed to a church prelate. And you know what I mean. Now, we all know he's from Chicago. And I made the mistake of saying that he was a Cubs fan. Well, he's from the South Side, so he's a Sox fan. Now, you can thank God you don't live in Chicago right now, because they're going pretty gaga. And they're already named a hot dog after him. Now, isn't that the height and the pinnacle of your life when you get a hot dog named after you? Now, why are you happy or excited that this man, this particular man, was named and called to be Pope? He's an image in many ways, and he himself has said he loved Francis. And I don't know if they were personal friends or not. I don't know how long they knew each other. But as we're hearing, and you know, you've heard a lot of these things that I'm going to say now, but I'm going to say them anyway, that really from a very young age, I mean, he was 3 or 4 years old, and this young Robert Prevost, he wanted to be a priest, and he practiced, he played mass, and his brothers were teasing him, and they had little nickel wafers as their hosts, and all the kids, you know, we used to do that in the 60s, you remember that? Yeah, uh-huh. And sometimes, even in the 60s, they let the girls be servers. That was radical back then. Okay, but what really is the point? He loves the poor, very much like Pope Francis. And I was right, it was hard. For 20 years, he lived among the poor and the people who lived in the slums and some of the poorest parts in Peru. And only after that, as I think it was Pope Francis, I don't know the dating of all this, but it was only after that when Pope Francis named him as one of the early bishops in Peru that he really then moved away from, but still had a great affinity for the poor. What is God saying to us about this kind of pope? Now, of course, he's not just going to be a pope for Chicago. He's going to be the pope for the whole world. What is God saying? Again, as I said in my opening comment at the beginning of Mass, God has a will for the church and for the world. And it's very easy for us to complain, particularly, I got to say this, first world country. I could have shot a gun in here last night and not hit anybody. And thank you for all you guys that normally go to four that weren't there last night. I think you're here today because this is a pretty good crowd for Sunday. You remember when we had to set up chairs? A lot of people not going to church. And I heard the interview when the reporter asked his brother, I don't know the brother's name, well, now what is the Pope going to do? Your brother, what's the Pope going to do about all the Americans that aren't going to church anymore? And the brother basically said, I don't know. God has a plan. You see, God has a plan. What about the morality in the world, you see? And again, Pope Leo is very clear that he really, he admired and he believed in and is following the footsteps of Francis in the love and care of the poor, the worker, the laborer, etc. He lived that life. He came from a small town, didn't have a great deal growing up, but as the comment went, but they had great faith, you see. Now, again, at the risk of sounding too discouraging, I don't mean to be discouraging at all, but the church in the United States is not particularly a strong church right now. There are very large parishes, even in our diocese. Divine Child Shrine, all the other parishes with young families and schools. There's a lot of lively, large parishes, but by and large, since the sex scandal, sorry to bring that up, 25 years ago now, and then COVID, people are just excusing themselves and they're kind of following their faith like on their own. And, we continue to do the live stream. It's attention. And I know, given the demographics of our particular area, many people can't come. Okay, we're going to serve you the word. And we can't bring you the sacrament necessarily. But you see, in the Southern Hemisphere, particularly in Africa and other places, their church is thriving. Seminaries are full, you see. So God's saying something here. So I thank God. I really praise God. It's an encouragement. My sister-in-law, I knew the white smoke had come. I didn't know who the new pope was. But she texted me and said, do you know him personally? I said, no, he's been in Peru for the last 40 years. I never met the guy. But I bet you if he came here, I could go up and I would never say Bob. But I would say, Holy Father, what an honor. And we would shake hands. He's just, not right today, he's just another guy, right? Who happens to be Pope. He loves God, he believes in Christ, and he's going to walk with the poor. In a time when our country in particular and other countries, I don't know how much you know, but there's grave starvation in the Sudan these days. There's grave starvation in Syria, civil wars, and other parts of the world. And we as a country, wisely or otherwise, have really drawn back on our international aid. How many people are dying and starving because the food that we used to offer is not there now? All the food kitchens in the Gaza refugee camps, they can't get there anymore. How many people are going to starve and die, you see, because of decisions that politicians and nations and peoples, and I don't just mean our own, God's doing something. And I think this Pope is going to remind us who we are, not only as Christians, but as human beings. We are one collective family. Now, again, I said, you know, it's easy to complain. There's enough to complain about. God knows that. I could talk until noon. That's what I thought you'd say. It's easy to complain. But are you going to follow Christ through thick and thin? Through thick and thin, when it's hard. When your faith is shady and doubtful, and you say, well, yeah, hell, no way it's going. I'm not going to go anyway. I'm not going to go either. Well, that's stupid. Can I say that? I don't know why he picked Leo. And I don't know if these things fit together, but if you'd just engage me for another minute here. We've started for some time now to use the St. Michael prayer. Who wrote that? Pope Leo XIII. It was Pope Paul VI in 1969 or so, said a darkness will enter the church. He was talking about the devil. And in those days, I think, I'm probably wrong, but there were four or five exorcists in the country at that time, and three of them were in New York. It was Pope John Paul II who, not so many years ago, said every diocese must have an exorcist. Because most dioceses didn't, and many bishops didn't believe in evil. Sorry, not the tone today, but there's evil in the world, isn't there? There is. Jesus did not promise us a rose garden. The first reading talks about persecution, etc., etc., etc. The second reading talks similarly, but differently, about distress and persecution, hatred, and all the social ills, reality of sin and evil in the world. And then John in the second reading, these are the ones who are washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, their robes washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Why does the Pope wear red? Because it represents martyrdom. Why does he wear white? Because it represents his baptism, and he's willing to give his life for Christ. And I bet you, hope it never happens, but I bet you Francis would have done it. And I bet you Leo XIV would do it. Is he going to sign up for it? No. It's not a rose garden. It's hard here. So please, Jim, can we have an hallelujah? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now, we're not glorifying Pope Leo. We're glorifying Christ. But Leo is the vicar of Christ on earth, elected by men like ourselves, human beings like ourselves, who I believe were open to the Holy Spirit. Never, ever, stealing words, I think, might be wrong, Winston Churchill, never, ever give up. Follow Christ. And if there, I think I said yesterday, if there's only two people here and I'm one of them, we'll say Mass in that little chapel and I'll sing all the songs all by myself. And I'll preach as long as I want. Now, I will say, and I wasn't going to say this yesterday, but I did and I didn't get stoned. There was one thing I did not like about Pope Francis. He said a priest should only preach for 8 minutes. What was he thinking? I can do that easy on a Monday through Friday. Now on Sunday, I really go all out. And I did tell this story, and it's a true story. When I was ordained in 1983, my first assignment was, I won't tell you where, but it was a big parish with a big school. And the pastor who was there at the time has since passed away. And they had, I think it was a 4 o'clock mass, and I had just actually literally moved in that Saturday. And I thought, okay, I'm ready. Let me just go down and, you know, greet the people, you know. So I get down there. I go down there at 4:25 or 4:30. And I go in church, there's nobody in there. And I walk into the office and I say to the secretary, the receptionist at the office, they had a Saturday person at that time. I said, well, where's the people? I mean, there's a 4 o'clock mass, right? 4 o'clock mass, right? She said, yeah. I said, well, she goes, oh, well, it's 4:30. Well, they're gone by now. I said, they're gone by now? Well, you know, Father so-and-so, well, he doesn't preach long. Well, apparently not. I mean, and he was really a very funny priest, and he was widely known for a lot of reasons. One, for his short homilies. Do you want that? I mean, I could give you a couple one-liners. In fact, I read some pretty funny things in Reader's Digest the other day. I could give you some one-liners. I could give you a little spiritual nosegay, and then go sit down. Do you want that? How are you going to know about Christ? I mean, you're not dumb. You're not stupid. You're not uneducated. But how are we going to know about Christ? Paul himself says, faith comes through the word. Faith comes through hearing. We have to hear, and to hear, the word's got to be proclaimed. Hey, I'm no Fulton Sheen, and I'm no Leo either, but I am what I am, and I got the microphone. I can give short homily, but how do I nourish my vocation? How do I stay alive in the word myself? You pray for me because I pray for you, and you pray for this Pope every day. You pray for the church, and if we have to downsize the church, hey, there's a lot of people here today. By the way, we started CSA. Really a slow start this year. We only got about $6,000 the first week. That's about half of what we've been getting. You know, no money, no lights. No electricity, no air conditioning. I couldn't miss that opportunity. Now, to my regularly scheduled program. How does the Word of God survive? If we're only getting 8-minute homilies and 6 of those minutes are jokes and peripheral comments, how are you hearing the Word? Now, on top of everything else going on today, it's Good Shepherd Sunday. And only coincidentally, it happens to be Mother's Day today. So that you might not necessarily, and that's only by coincidence, honestly. You know, Shepherd and Mother's Day just happened to fall on the same day this year. But you won't immediately recognize, but there's really a beautiful connection between the image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd and the natural role of a mother. What is the appeal? What's the identity of the Good Shepherd? Broadly speaking, he's a protector and defender. He is one who strengthens and defends, one who calls for justice and mercy. He is one who guides and directs to safe green pastures. You know, biblical images there. His love and care of a Good Shepherd is genuine, it's sincere, it's committed. The Good Shepherd, Jesus, said he would, and did, lay down his life for his sheep, so that those who give themselves to Christ, the Good Shepherd, will come to know and hear his voice. Now notice how similar that is to the qualities of a loving mother. Every mother knows the voice of her child, down to the slightest tone and inflection. In a split second, a mother will know the cry of their child, whether it's just a complaint or irritation, whether it's some kind of discomfort, or whether it's a crisis. Am I right? There's a difference between, oh, Bill, my brother hit me, or you fell off the back of the garage. They're going to be a different kind of cry, and a mother's going to know that immediately. And the children know it as well, right? We did that when we were kids. A child knows the tone and the context of the voice of the mother's call. And sometimes, if you use your middle name is used, that means right now. A different tone, maybe later. A different tone, she didn't really mean that. Every mother knows exactly what I mean. So today we celebrate and honor with love and respect, with great gratitude, the gift of our mother's love. We support and love our mothers readily as she gives herself in love and care for her children. So today, and many other days, I hope, you take the opportunity to thank your mother. I prayed for and I thanked my mother, who died in 2021. 25, 24 years ago, for the love that she afforded me and my other five kids she had. There were six of us. I was the tall, intelligent one in the middle. Well, skip the tall. No, skip the intelligent, too. Pray for your mom. Whatever words of love you can express to her, she will honor, value, and appreciate. If you get her a gift, make it with love. Turning to the gospel, then, in the context of the gospel, Jesus really is responding to the lack of faith of the religious leaders of his time. They don't believe in him, they don't accept his words, and they do not have any faith in him. And so he says, picking up today's gospel, "My sheep hear my voice. I give them eternal life because they follow me, and they will never perish." That's why I started with eternal life. Do you know, can you hear when you pray, do you hear the voice of your shepherd? Do you know how to hear the voice of the Lord? That's really a normal operating behavior for all the baptized. You, as a person baptized in Christ who prays with any regularity, and I don't mean just throwing up prayers to see if something sticks, I mean you're praying from your heart. At some point, if you're practicing that, you're going to begin to hear the voice of the shepherd because you're desiring his way, the way of the gospel, and the gospel's difficult. You know, I said this yesterday, and it sounds kind of tongue-in-cheek, but the reality is, a lot of us, if Jesus walked up that aisle right now, we might not like him. He was pretty radical. He loved the poor. He defended widows and orphans and prostitutes and tax collectors. He was compassionate and merciful. And today we'd probably say, oh, that guy's a socialist. I think I've heard that before. But you see, if you know Jesus, God, the divine one, from your heart, you'll know his voice, will you not? Because you'll find in him a secure care, a protection in his defense, and you'll learn to see and trust the path that he is now offering and that we are all on, the path to eternal life. We all know the endless noise of the world, the shouting voices that demand our attention, and all the demanding ploys of our consumerist culture. Someone was sharing with me recently, I've had the experience myself, you know, calling, I think from China or some other place, I don't know, and they want to buy your property. You get those calls? You know, you think, okay, you know what I say? And they call like three or four times or five times a week. I was like, how'd you get my number? I say, I'm sorry, you're calling a Catholic parish. This is a church. Oh, sorry, click, click. There's ways. You see, all those demands for our time and our attention, which is exactly the wisdom and the truest sense of why Jesus uses these words, because he's very intent on gathering and protecting and defending us, his own sheep, his followers, protecting us against the pitfalls and the constant distractions that ploy against even the most ardent followers. I think I heard in the news, one of the media outlets, that Pope Leo now, the first thing he does every day is pray the rosary. How many people, the first thing you do when you open your eyes is look at your phone? Please don't do that. Give your soul 30 seconds to wake up first. Say a prayer, you see. You know, when we were kids, this young man, handsome young man, Do you have a cell phone, Liam? Good. Way to go, Mom and Dad. Wait till he's about 40. I'm kidding. So how do we learn the voice of the Good Shepherd? Faith. Desire. We're not just plugging in and punching our church card, but to believe in Jesus, to seek and to know him as we are called in a personal relationship. Because relationships need time. So that our prayer could be prayers, but at some point we have to pray from our hearts with a willingness and an attention that we're praying to our beloved one. We are his beloved, and the response should be reciprocal or mutual. We are the beloved of God, and we should have a beloved sense and desire for the Lord as well. So that with Jesus, these bonds of love are built up through prayer, compassion, mercy, our relationality, our connectivity, and our compassion and response ability, our ability to respond to those in need. That's the seedbed that helps that fruit, the wheat that makes the bread, that becomes the Eucharist, that becomes our life in God and God's life in us. These are not uncommon practices for those who are sincere about their faith in God. It's not limited to mystics and those who live in monasteries. It's not just for religious. It's for all the baptized. I know, and because some of you have shared with me, you have your stories. You, in your own way, because it's all personal and unique to each of us, you've heard from the Lord, haven't you? You've heard the Lord speak to you, I hope. Listen. A person shared with me recently, I won't go into the whole wider story, and the word was very clear. Take off the ring. And it had to do with a person that had a lot of chaos in their life. And the ring had a lot of history connected to it, a lot of dark and negative history. And the word came, take off the ring. And that person took off that ring and put it away. And the rhythm and mood and disposition of their life literally changed. Something lifted. That person heard the word, relayed the word, acted on it, and something changed. I can tell you early in Holy Week, as I'm preparing for all these 20-minute homilies, you know, it's a chaotic time, and it's been very busy lately. Appointments and just different things just pop up. And I'm just kind of sitting there, kind of worn out, and the week hadn't even started yet. And the Lord said very clearly, I can hear him now say, be still. I thought, thank God. And my attitude and emotions and outlook just settled down. Now, I guess I wouldn't be the one to say it, maybe you who were here, but I thought it was a pretty good Holy Week. I felt the presence of the Lord. I felt the presence of the Lord in the word and the sacrament and the rituals we celebrated. The Lord reminded me, be still. Honestly, there's endless examples of any of us hearing from the Lord. The challenge is to make the effort to quiet the inner voices, our self-talk, that so often won't shut up. Those inner voices that complain and correct and wrestle with us, well, that was dumb, well, that was stupid, you shouldn't have done that. Well, yeah, you really are getting a little thin on the top there, you know, thin, you know, whatever. We all have self-talk. Get that to settle down. Now, I know this is really going to be very popular. Can you turn off the TV once in a while? Can you put down the phone? Can you close the computer? Think of the proportionate time. I forget the statistics. Most of us probably watch 2 or 3 hours of TV a day. So maybe similar hours on the phone and more hours on the computer. But Jesus gets sometimes leftovers, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes to say a quick prayer. You're not going to hear the voice of the Lord that way. If you shut off the TV, put down the phone and close the computer, and if you want to hear from the Lord, sit still and be quiet. People don't like that. I know that. Because they don't want to feel what's inside. But if you allow yourself to do that, then you'll know what's there and you can give it to the Lord and he'll take it and help you with it. As for today, practice that, please. Pray for Pope Leo. For now, obey the inner voice and be sure to express a word of love and gratitude for your mother. Pray for the Pope. Pray for Liam today. He's having a great day. He's going to receive Jesus. There's going to be another little Christ in the world right after he receives. Your life matters. You're an image and a presence of Christ in the world. Thank you, God. Praise you, God, for the gift of Pope Leo. May we, faithful followers of you, Christ Jesus, be inspired by the word and sacrament that we now receive. Praise be God in Jesus Christ.